2 weeks ago, we began talking about the Lord is my shepherd from Psalm 23. And so I want to continue in Psalm 23 this morning with verses 3 and 4. We went into just the first line of verse 3 2 weeks ago. First thing that I talked about a couple weeks ago is that those who listen to and follow the Lord can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Very personal. This is a very personal psalm. We also talked about sheep just a little bit. Sheep are defenseless, dependent, helpless. In other words, sheep don't do very well on their own. They need a shepherd. And we're very much like sheep. We don't do very well on our own. We can look around our world and see that. Sometimes we can look into our own lives and see that. We need a shepherd, and we have one. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalm speaks about relationship, about a relationship of care and trust. That's what you find between a shepherd and his sheep. As we trust the Lord, we find rest and restoration. God provides what I need. I can be content. His grace and His mercy restores me. That's the Lord. He is my shepherd. Verse 3, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How does God lead or guide you? You know, we often want to know God's will in a difficult time or in a time when we have a difficult decision to make. We're wondering, what's God's will? What's he want me to do? Should I take this job or that job? Should I buy or rent this house or that house? Should I go to college or stay out for a year? Should I start my Social Security payments at 65 or 68? I don't know if those are the right ages these days. 62, thank you. I'm pushing it up for you. Should I retire this year or next year? Should I invite my neighbors over for coffee this evening? Should I sponsor a child or not? Often our question is, what, when, where, which one, when we want to know God's will. David says that his shepherd guides him in paths of righteousness. It answers the question of whom. Who should I be? That's what that question answers. The Lord leads us in terms of who we should be. What will our character be like? Paths of righteousness. If we allow the shepherd to lead us in developing right character, the path of what, where, and when will become clearer. And indeed, there may sometimes be more than one good choice. Because the Lord has led us in right character. A compassion child or a Watoto child. Maybe we don't need to spend too long figuring out which one is the Lord's will. Maybe, as He leads us in paths of righteousness, we know that He wants us to share with those in need. That's part of the character that He's building in us, leads us in paths of righteousness. Every decision that we make should be based on who God has called us to be. What kind of a person has He called you to be? In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord." Now that doesn't mean that do whatever you want. It means whatever you do, it's got to be something that's in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord means it's in His character. When we talk about somebody's name, we understand who you are. When we talk about the name of the Lord, it has to do with His authority and the character of God, who He is. So when Paul says, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord, he means everything that you do should be done. Everything that you say should be said following God's character. And so He leads us in paths of righteousness. Note that the Lord leads or guides us, David says. He's given us an example. We have the life of Christ. He's given us instruction in the Word of God. He guides us in paths of righteousness, developing our character, who we are. And as we think about that, we might start thinking, oh, it's all about me and who I'm becoming. But it says here that he guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One's name is associated with one's character and one's reputation. A shepherd, we know, would not lead his sheep into harm. It'd ruin his reputation as a shepherd. The Lord, it says, leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's actually concerned about his reputation, not because he cares about being approved of, but because he has this character that's true to who he is. And for that reason, his reputation is important. And so we can trust God as he guides us and leads us. Because as he guides us in character building, we can trust that direction. Because this is for his name's sake. Sometimes we may want to go off and do our own thing, do things our own way. And maybe we're not sure that God's way is the way to do it. But we can trust God when he says, do it this way. His reputation is at stake. And we can trust that he's going to lead us in the way that's good. I think about Moses when I read this for his name's sake. You remember Moses when God was upset with the children of Israel? He was rightly upset with them. And God had decided, I'm just going to destroy them. And you remember how Moses argued with God? He said, yeah, but what about your reputation, God? Everybody will say, you took them out of Egypt only to let them die here in the desert. You're a faithful God. God is faithful. And he lives by that reputation. And so we can trust him as he leads us, as he guides us in paths of righteousness, as he deals with our character, who we are, and who we're becoming. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Sheep tend to go their own way. They tend to follow a path over and over. As I was reading Philip Keller, he said, they tend to follow one another through the pasture, and they make these paths, and they wear them into the pasture, and it causes erosion. It can ruin a pasture. One, because sometimes they just go their own way, and other times because they keep following the same paths. People aren't so different than that. We will stupidly and stubbornly and blindly follow the same wrong path or some other sheep that's going the wrong way, some other person. And it leads to pain or even death. Proverbs 18:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends. But the end it leads to is death. We like to wander our own direction. But the Good Shepherd, the Lord, leads us in paths of righteousness. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That's what the Good Shepherd says. And so we follow him. The Lord's will is for you to have right character. Those are the paths of righteousness that he's guiding you in. Well, we all know that we can't become righteous on our own. Sheep can't find the right paths just on their own. God has to work in us. And we have to depend on him and wait on him even while we put in our own effort to become who he calls us to be. We're in a process. We should see progress in that process, no matter how small it may seem sometimes. So you should see your character becoming like Christ. You should see it becoming what God wants it to be. Paul was very confident that that's what God is doing in us. He says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What is this work that the shepherd is completing in you today, at this point in your life? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, as Paul speaks, he says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This verse is what it's doing. It's drawing a contrast. It's a contrast between the time of the law, when Moses was the leader of the people, when Moses would speak to God, when God would speak to Moses, Moses would meet with God. When he came to back to the people, the first time he came down off the mountain, his face was reflecting God's glory. It was glowing. And so Moses, the people saw that. They knew that he had been with God. And it says that Moses put a veil after he spoke to the people. He put a veil over his face so that the people would not see his face fading. As he was away from God, the glory would begin to fade from his face, and he had it veiled. When he would go and meet with God again, that glow would be back, and he came and he talked to the people, and then his face would be veiled again. Now, Paul's drawing a contrast. He says that was at the time of the law. He's telling the Corinthians, now in this time of the Spirit, there's something else going on. It's not that way. God's glory in you is not fading the way it did with Moses. He says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is his Spirit. The Lord, the Spirit, is transforming you. So as we think about the shepherd leading us in paths of righteousness, we can't just make it happen. There's something that happens on our part, but the Spirit is transforming you. And you should see that happening in your life. And others should see that happening. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. It's what you've chosen to do, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit ministers in our lives to bring about that change of character as we become like Christ. And in 1 John 3:2, dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are becoming like him. He is leading you in paths of righteousness. We're sheep. We need a shepherd who guides us in paths of righteousness. David was confident of this. He was confident that that's what his shepherd did. And he could see it in his own life, even with his failings. You know the failings of David. But he could see what God was doing in his life. What's God doing in your life? How's he changing you? What's the Spirit doing? Are you keeping in step with the Spirit, the way he's changing your character? David goes on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know if you like this part of the psalm or not. I noticed in the men's bathroom we have the 23rd Psalm on the wall. It's part of the wallpaper. It's only the first couple verses. We don't get to the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe it's not our favorite part. We often think of the valley of the shadow of death as our actual time of death. But it would seem like that ought to come at the end of the psalm, not in the middle of the psalm. Being in the middle of the psalm, David may have been referring to any dark and difficult time in life. And it could refer to the time of death, but really at any time. When we walk through difficulty, sometimes through darkness in our lives. If you think about the seasons of a shepherd and his sheep and caring for the sheep, Philip Keller again says that this could be the summer season. In the summer, it's time for the shepherd to take the sheep up into the higher ground, up into the mountains. As the snow recedes from the upper reaches of the mountain, there's alpine meadows. As things dry out below, the shepherd takes his sheep to higher ground where those green meadows are. And the way to get up a mountain is through those valleys. Those little valleys that you kind of see on the sides of a mountain or from one place to another may be through a valley which is kind of dark, kind of narrow, a place where predators may dwell. And so for the shepherd to get his sheep to those places, they have to go through some difficult areas to get them to those meadows. Philip Keller also says that sheep kind of like to stay where they're at and just keep eating the grass where they are until they overrun a pasturage. They'll eat it until everything is bare, until the roots are gone. It'll totally ruin that pasture. And so he said part of a shepherd's job is to continually move the flock, continually be paying attention when this pasturage is finished and it's the best time to move the sheep on to a new pasture. A new place to be fed. And so we will experience difficult times. It's part of being a follower. It's part of being one of the shepherd's sheep. There are difficult times in life. And I don't have to tell you that. We all know that. We've seen it in our own lives. We see it in the lives of others. In Acts, Paul says this, as Paul and Barnabas are finishing up one of their missionary journeys. They've planted churches along the way, and now they're on their way back to their home church. And they stop to encourage those in the churches they've planted. It says in Acts 14, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the faith, to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven, they said. Paul said there's going to be difficult times. As he came back and he encouraged these new disciples, he didn't want them to be mistaken and to think that everything was supposed to be smooth and easy from here on out. Rather, as a part of his encouraging them to remain true to the faith, he said, don't be surprised, there's going to be some difficult times as we enter into the kingdom of heaven. One man has said, if we have been told that we're supposed to be on a bumpy track, every jolt along the way simply confirms the fact that we're still on the right road. If you're told that it's going to be a smooth road the whole way, you may think you've gotten the wrong turn or gone the wrong way. So there will be difficult times. Walking through a dark valley, the sheep take courage not because of their ability to protect themselves. We know sheep can't do that. They take courage because of the presence of the shepherd. The one that they trust, the one that they know cares for them, is there with them. He'll protect them. They can rest. They can graze under his watchful eye because he's there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The sheep knows the shepherd is there. We know our shepherd, the Lord, is with us. takes courage to trust the Lord and to rest, to continue grazing or doing the things that are important, life's important activities in the face of danger, trusting the presence of the Lord, that He's with us. There's a story of a child who was on a train, and the child kept getting up and running up and down the aisle and going for this and going for that. He was with his mother. And a lady across the aisle felt bad for the mom, and so she stopped the child and engaged the child in conversation. And they began to talk, and the mother asked the child about his outfit. And he began to tell her how his mother had made the outfit for him and began to talk about his mom. Suddenly, the train went through a dark tunnel. As it went into the tunnel, the boy quickly darted across the aisle and he clung to his mother, saying, "Mommy, Mommy, you're here, and I'm not afraid, am I?" When he got into that darkness, he needed his mother's presence. He needed to know that she was there. Up to this point here in the psalm, David is talking about the shepherd. But when we get to this point in the psalm, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He's not just talking about the shepherd now, he's talking to the shepherd. "For you are with me." It becomes even more intimate as he moves into this place. He speaks directly to the shepherd. He's present with us. David Roper explains this about Pilgrim's Progress. You know the story of Pilgrim, written by, I want to say Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan. It's about the progress of a pilgrim, a follower of Christ, and what he goes through in the different lands and places that he enters. He says this, "When Pilgrim plunged into the valley," that would be this valley of the shadow of death, "he heard a man going before him saying, 'Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.' He gathered," that's Pilgrim gathered, "that others were in the valley as well, and that God was with them," as he heard them speaking. "And he thought, 'Why not me? Though by reason of the impediment that attends this place, I cannot perceive it.'" In the darkness, he couldn't see the Lord there with him. He couldn't perceive his presence. And yet, as he heard others who were in the valley speaking to the shepherd, he said, "Why wouldn't he be with me as well? He's present with us." That was David's conclusion. It can be ours as well. That's what faith is when we walk through those places. We also know that those who can best help us and refresh us when we go through those valleys are people who have been through those valleys themselves. God's actually doing something in our lives in those times. It also says that, "Even though I walk through the valley," these valleys do come to an end. We walk through them. He brings us through them. Philippians 4, 6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In those times, He's with us. He's present. That's why David said he didn't need to fear the evil. We come to the rod and the staff. I've often wondered, how exactly is that comforting? The rod and the staff. What is the rod and the staff? Most of us would probably think of the shepherd's crook. As the shepherd's staff, it has that hook on the end of it. We've seen pictures. Maybe you haven't seen the rod as often. This is what Philip Keller says about the rod. He says, "In the Middle East, the shepherd carries only a rod and a staff. Some of my most vivid boyhood recollections are those of watching the African herdsmen, so he grew up in Africa, shepherding their stock with only a long, slender stick and a rough knob carry in their hands. These were the common and universal equipment of the primitive sheepmen. Each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, takes special pride in the selection of a rod and a staff, exactly suited to his own size and strength. He goes into the bush and he selects a young sapling which is dug from the ground. This is carved and whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joins the roots, is shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hard wood. The sapling itself is shaped to exactly fit the owner's hand. After he completes it, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with his club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. So that would be like the rod. It's not long and slender, but it's a little shorter and heavier. It becomes his main weapon of defense for both himself and his sheep. The rod, in fact, was an extension of the owner's own right hand. It stood as a symbol of his strength and his power, his authority in any serious situation. The rod was what he relied on to safeguard both himself and his flock in danger. And, he says, it was furthermore the instrument he used to discipline or correct any wayward sheep that insisted on wandering away. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He also talks about the staff. He talks about how often the staff is used to pull a sheep back, to bring it in, a little lamb, bring it in close to its mother, or sometimes just to pull a sheep closer to himself, or to give a little bit of guidance, not to hit the sheep, but just to give gentle direction to a sheep with the staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is there. He's protecting us. He's guiding us. That's to be a comfort to us when it's a difficult time, when we're in a hard place. The Lord does protect and He comforts, and we can depend on that. The Lord's will for you is right character. How's He guiding you in that way today? Are you keeping in step with the Spirit as He transforms you? He transforms who you are. Are you in a difficult time? There are those times in our lives. The Lord is with you. It's been the testimony of saints through the ages that in a difficult time, the Lord was with me. Often we know that more looking back. But knowing that, in the next valley, we know He's there. He's with us. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. It's the time to draw near to Him, just as David changes the way he speaks at this part of the psalm. And he says, "You are with me." He begins speaking to the shepherd himself. "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. I'd like to ask the rest of you to stand and let's pray together. This morning, as we sing this final song together, feel free to come to the altar if you'd like to do that this morning. You just want to come on your own, you can do that over here on this side, your left side, on the right side, if you'd like somebody to pray with you. Maybe you are in a very difficult time right now, and you just need somebody to stand alongside you in prayer. Or maybe you just want to come and express your trust in the shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You indeed are our shepherd. I thank You for what You're doing in our lives right now, Lord. You are developing our character. You are making us more and more like Jesus. Father, I thank You that You have been so patient in that matter, gracious. You will not stop You'll continue to guide us in those paths. But you have been gracious and we thank you. Father, continue that good work in us. We want to be like our Savior. So continue to do that in us, Lord. Father, anything that we need to let go of today, we let go of that. So that we can be who you called us to be. Lord, and as we live our lives the way that you call us, Lord, I believe that you'll direct us in the decisions that we have to make. They'll become clear to us. Thank you. So I ask that for each one here, Lord, for that clarity, for that transformation in our lives. And Lord, when we need to go through dark and difficult spaces, we don't always understand why, Lord, but you are with us. And you wouldn't lead us, Lord, into a bad place. You do have good things in store for us. And so we thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that you would fill each one here with faith to be able to trust you in those places. And for those who feel that they're in that place right now, Father, encourage them, strengthen them, give them courage to know that you are there. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.